And Teresa was just saying that she kind of gave you that picture from Revelation, that picture. She said she wanted you to picture what it was like to be in heaven. And I got to just say, we just got a little piece of that. I didn't see any lion faces or eagle faces or anything like that. But I do think when we gather together and we praise God, we are joining all of creation, and it's a little piece of heaven. I want you to know this. In the church, sometimes we think of heaven as something that's far off, but God is working in our hearts and our lives, and as we accept Him as our Savior and as we are transformed into His image, when we come together as the body of Christ, we are experiencing a piece of heaven. And so it's not just something we look forward to one day. Every week we get to come together and we get to worship and we get to join with all the angels and sing the praises of God. Are you glad for that? If you are, nod your head, say amen, do whatever you want. So it's a big Sunday today for a couple different reasons. The Super Bowl's today. How many of you are excited for the Super Bowl? All right, how many of you are not excited for the Super Bowl? Wow, okay. Whoa. I didn't know I served at such a hateful church. How many of you are just here for Taylor Swift? Anyone? Okay, a few of you. Listen, I just want to say this. We just sang that He's holy and that He's worthy. And tonight there will be a football game, and people all over the world will be praising and worshiping athletes who can do some cool things on a football field. But today we get the opportunity to serve a God that is much bigger and much more worthy. And so while this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, it combines football and worship. I mean, we worship in the morning, we watch football in the evening, we eat good food, we hang out with friends. It's a great day. The best part of my day today is right here, because He's worthy. He's worthy of everything I've got. And so you made the right choice by being here this morning or joining online. Thank you for being here. Today we're going to continue our series on Connect. By the way, I just want to say something really quick. Teen Super Bowl party tonight, dodgeball's coming your way. And I'm coming for you, all right? You guys got that? So today we're going to finish off our Connect series. And in this series, we're talking about being connected to each other, that when we follow Jesus, you become a part of the body of Christ, that we are created for community. So I want you to understand this. In today's day, sometimes we make faith about a personal thing between God and I, and we make this a personal, separated thing. But I want you to understand the Connect series, what we're talking about, and in Romans that we study, it tells us that we belong to the body of Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong to the body of Christ. It's not just a personal thing that you go in a little prayer closet and do your faith. You are called to be a part of the family of God. You were created for this. Really quickly, when God created everything, we go back to the beginning. In Genesis, God created Adam, man. And He looked at Adam and He said, Adam's great, but you know what? Adam's missing something. He needs a helper, and so then He created Eve. And we see from the very beginning that God's design was that we were built for community and relationship. And so we see this little picture of heaven in the Garden of Eden. We have Adam and Eve and God connected. They're connected to God. They're connected to each other. And then a terrible thing happened. Adam and Eve chose sin, chose their own path, and everything was broken. There was a disconnect between God and man, and not just between God and man, but there was a disconnect between man and woman or man and other man. And we just see a brokenness. The good news of the gospel, Romans chapter 1 through 11, tells us that Jesus Christ came to pay for our sins, to forgive us so that we could be connected to God again. We could be right with God. But it's bigger than that, because it's not just that God wanted to forgive us so that we don't go to hell. It's that God wanted to save us so that we can experience heaven. And that picture that we see in the garden of Adam and Eve created and connected to God and connected to each other is what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to be connected to Him, but He wants you to be connected to the body of Christ. And when you are, you experience God's glory and you experience a little piece of heaven. We are being built into the body of Christ a holy temple. Ephesians 2, 21 to 22 says, in him, the whole building, the church, God's people, is joined together and rises to become the holy temple of the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So we often think that God lives in buildings or churches. We look at temples, we look at cathedrals or the church, and what a beautiful church that we have the opportunity to worship in today. Can I just tell you that this is not God's dwelling place? This building is not God's dwelling place? God lives in his people. And it tells us that when we accept Christ, we are being transformed and we are being built together into the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So that when you go to McDonald's after church, how many of you are going to McDonald's after church? None of you. Okay, cool. When you go wherever you're going to go eat after church, you are the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit goes with you. God doesn't stay here in this building. We are being built together. And so today we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Fair warning, I was a little bit long in first service. I'm going to do my best. I'm talking really fast. You hear that, right? Doing my best for you. But God's word is so good today. And there's something for everyone here. So Romans 12, 1 to 2, Paul says that we are to be living sacrifices. That as we live every day, we worship, we serve. Our lives, the way we live, is a sacrifice to God. And then last week, we looked at 3 through 8, that we belong to each other and that we're called to serve each other. Today, 9 through 21 is just a picture of what that looks like. This is really practical, nitty-gritty. This is how you love each other. This is how you live in the body of Christ. So Romans 12, 9 through 21, if you'll stand with me, and honor God's word. And I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. We stand because we believe this is God's holy word, and we believe that God wants to speak through his word. And there's a lot of stuff in here. We could be here for 6 hours. We're not going to be here for 6 hours. But there's a lot of stuff here, and I believe that God wants to speak to every single person here through his word. Not me, not anything I can come up with, his word. And so we stand, and I'll read it. You can follow along on the screen. Verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. We'll get to that. It's strange. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise God. Have a seat. My prayer is, we're going to work through this pretty quick, but my prayer is that God will speak to you. I know that there's probably something in here for every person that came today or is watching online. And so three things. I'm going to boil this down into three things. I'm not going to spend a lot on each line, but I want to boil it down to three things that we see in the text that I think encompass what this text says. The first thing is this. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Be devoted to one another. The second thing is this, that we are to live in harmony with one another. And the third thing is that we're to overcome evil with good. So here let's jump into it. The first part, be devoted. This is the commitment. So I want you to picture a wedding ceremony. Picture that you guys all came today to a wedding ceremony, and there's a beautiful bride and groom up here, and they're making a commitment to each other. When we stand at the altar in a wedding ceremony, we're making a commitment to each other. That's kind of the first part of this. It's the commitment. It's what we're committing to do. We're devoting ourselves to each other. And so it says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So that first word, love, love must be sincere. All through Romans, Paul has been talking about this word love, and it's the word agape love, which is God's perfect, unconditional love for us. Here in chapter 12, verse 9 is the first time he uses it as something we're supposed to do. And so he says, your love for each other, your agape love, must be sincere. I'm going to guess that every single one of us has experienced fake love before. We're called to love each other with agape love, real, unconditional love. That's what we're called to each other. And sometimes our tendency is to fake love each other. We walk by each other in the hallway and we say, yeah, hey, you know, and then we turn and we scowl. You've had someone do that to you, haven't you? It's just me? All the time? Every day? Megan? No, I'm just kidding. It says love must be sincere. We are called to love each other with a deep, agape, real love. And so this isn't a fake thing. You're not called to come to church and to hang out with each other and just fake that you love each other. He says love must be sincere. He says hate what is evil, cling to what is good. You can go back and watch last week. We talk a lot more about that. But anything that's going to draw us away from honoring God and loving each other well, we should hate it. We should get rid of it. Then it says the first phrase, be devoted to one another in love. So this word, this love word here, is different than agape. Agape is God's unconditional perfect love. Now it talks about philadelphia, which is brotherly love. And we're not talking about punching each other and stealing toys from each other like my kids do, the brotherly love there. We're talking about the love that a family has for each other. We're called to love each other that way. So he says, be devoted to each other in brotherly love. There's a movie, one of my favorite movies. It's a classic. I'm sure all of you will have seen it and loved it. It's the movie Tommy Boy. Any of you seen Tommy Boy? Nod your head if you've seen Tommy Boy. So it was Chris Farley, one of my favorite actors, and Chris Farley was a funny guy. And in the movie, there's this scene where Tommy Boy has come home from college after 9 years. He comes home from college, and his dad introduces him to another woman and says, this is going to be my new wife. And Tommy Boy gets super excited. He says, she's going to be my mom. And then there's a knock on the door, and they say, hey, guess who that is? That's your new brother. And so that's the son of the woman. And so Tommy Boy goes to the door, and he opens the door, and there is the son of the woman that his dad is going to marry. And the guy looks at him and waves, and Tommy Boy says, brother! And the guy puts out his hand. Good to meet you. And Tommy Boy, one of my favorite lines in the movie, says, brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug. Favorite line of the movie. Brothers got a hug, man. This is what it's talking about here. It's saying be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Sometimes in the church, we're guilty of, hi, I'm Alex, and I keep you at a distance, and I keep things, and maybe this is you, but there are times where in our culture, in the church today, we're pretty good at kind of keeping each other at a distance as acquaintances. God's word says that we should be devoted to one another with brotherly love. It's not handshakes for us, it's hugs. Some of you are cringing because you don't like hugs. All right, we're speaking metaphorically here. We're to love each other as brothers and sisters, not to keep each other at a distance. So be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Care for one another more than you care for yourself. And then this last part, and I told you that God's word speaks. I already had the sermon all written. This morning I came, I always come and go through the notes, and God spoke to me about this next line. Keep your spiritual fervor. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I just think this is important. This is what God was speaking to me about this morning. I was going to just gloss over that line, to be honest. But I think this line's really important. Because if we're called to be devoted to one another and to live in brotherly love, we're going to need to be spiritually, keep our spiritual fervor. Because you know that loving other people, being devoted to other people is difficult, right? And so he says, keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your commitment. Be devoted to one another and be committed. Keep your spiritual passion to love each other. Be joyful in hope. Sometimes in relationships, we can get kind of pessimistic. Maybe you've been burned a few times. Maybe you're going through a hard time. He says, be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. There's going to be turbulence. There are going to be problems. Be patient in affliction and be faithful in prayer. I can't tell you how many times I've had things, relational things in the church or in my life. The most important thing we can do is be faithful in prayer. And so be devoted to one another. This is giving us a picture that we're called to dive into deep and real relationships, not handshakes, hugs. Hugs. Brotherly love, living in community and worshiping in community requires us to devote ourselves to one another. And so I talked about that marriage moment. Occasionally we'll do membership here in the church. And maybe some of you have been going here a while and you haven't joined the church. We would welcome you to do that. But usually Pastor Dale stands up here in a similar way to like a marriage ceremony. There's kind of a ceremony thing. It's not weird. It's cool. And he stands here with the people and he says, you know, will you commit to locking arms? Usually he says that, locking arms with the people around you. This is where we join arms. We become a family. And there's this commitment. And just as we have a husband and wife stand at the altar and commit, I will be faithful to you. I will stay with you. I will love you forever. In membership, we kind of celebrate that we're locking arms, that we're in this together. We're a family. And so that's kind of the picture here. Be devoted to one another. That's a commitment. In the same way in a marriage, we have to stand up and make a promise before God. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, you need to make a commitment. You need to devote yourself to the body of Christ. There is no solo Christianity. We're a family. And so be devoted to one another. No handshakes, hugs. Number two, it says live in harmony. If the first part is standing at the altar and making a commitment, this second part is where the rubber meets the road. This is what has to happen for us to live in harmony. And so verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Let's start in 13 actually. 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. So here's the deal. We're not just called to be a part of the church. We're called to live in harmony together. So the marriage moment, we commit ourselves. And you guys that are married or have been married know that once you walk off that altar, that commitment's enough to make a perfect marriage for the next 50 years, right? No, it's not. The rubber has to meet the road. There's the promise, there's the commitment, but then there's the everyday we go live it out. That's what this section is. It's us living in harmony. God's plan for us is not to exist together. God's plan for us as the body of Christ is to live in harmony and to bring him glory through the way we live together. And so we make the commitment, we're devoted to each other, but now we're to live in harmony. It says share with others, practice hospitality. That's a choice. You have to choose to share with others. One of the things I love about this church is I can't tell you how many times somebody in our church has been in need and somebody else has stepped up to share and to help. This is a wonderful place. We are called to do that for each other. We're called to share what we have with each other, to practice hospitality. This shouldn't be a place where you're treated poorly. This should be a place where you experience God's grace. We're called to hospitality. It says bless. This is where it gets kind of tough. Bless those who persecute you. If we can't get to this, and we'll talk about this more later, we can't live in harmony. It says, rejoice with the rejoicing, mourn with the mourning. You know what this is a picture of? Somebody who's sharing life together. When Megan and I stood at the altar, actually right here, not right there, that wasn't there. But when we stood right here and we said, we commit ourselves forever till death do us part, it doesn't stop there. If we're going to live in harmony in our marriage, we have to be committed to share life together. And that means there are times that are great and we're rejoicing and we've got to rejoice together. And there are times that we're mourning. Sorry, it just hit me. Yesterday was 5 years of my mom's death. And we mourn together. We walk through it together. I'm good, thank you. It's a normal thing. I appreciate you. We're called to rejoice together in the good times. That's not just marriage, that's God's people. We should know each other, we should walk through life together. And when we're rejoicing, we should rejoice together. And when we're mourning, we should mourn together. I'll pull myself together, sorry. I wasn't expecting that to hit me. We share life. It says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low position. Be willing to associate with all people. You know what one of my favorite things about this church is? We don't all look the same. We don't all dress the same. We're not all the same. We're all different. This is a diverse church. And one of the things I love is that we are called to love everyone. Be willing to associate, let's just say this, with everyone. There's some books out there by some really famous pastors, and they make my skin crawl. They say in those books that as a leader, you should only spend time with people that advance your vision. If somebody doesn't advance your vision, then they're not important enough for you to spend your time with. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to live in harmony and to love everyone. And so this is where the rubber meets the road. There's the commitment, and now here's the, we're called not just to be devoted to each other, we're called to live in harmony with each other. And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do. There are a lot of days that it's hard to see the harmony that God has for us. But God has so much for us. The body of Christ should display the glory of God. When the way we relate to each other, the way that we give to each other, the way that we walk through things together, the way that we forgive each other should bring glory to God. That when other people see the church, they should say, man, that's God at work. Because only God can do that. The Spirit wants to help us live in harmony. So there may be some of you in here that are saying, I don't see it. I want you to know that the Spirit wants to help us live in harmony. You're not called to just exist. We're called to live in harmony in the body of Christ. That brings us to the third thing. Be devoted. Make the commitment. Live in harmony. Do the work. The third part, the third phrase is overcome evil with good. I said earlier, Paul wrote this into a church that was going through some things. It was a church that was kind of divided. There were the Jewish Christians, and then there were the Gentile Christians, and they couldn't agree on how they needed to worship. What's new? Well, this is new. That was a long time ago. But they couldn't agree, and not only that, but they existed in the Roman culture, which was not exactly the most Christian culture. And so he knew, writing this, that there was going to be problems. Can I just say this? I know that when you come to church and you join the body of Christ, you think that everything's going to be perfect and nice. Can I just tell you the truth? It's not. There are going to be some turbulences. There are going to be things that happen that aren't easy. And please understand this. As a pastor, let me say this. Do not expect this church or any church to be perfect. Because I'm not perfect. and you're not perfect. And so he writes this and he says, commit yourself to others. He says, live in harmony with others, but he says, you need to overcome evil with good. In order to live in harmony, you've got to understand there are going to be some tough times. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. The Lord says, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, you know what we're called to do? We're called to feed him. If he's thirsty, we're called to give him something to drink. And then there's this weird line. It says, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. We'll get to that in a minute. But it says, don't repay evil with evil. Do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So this week, the kids were at school. I won't name this kid. I probably will name this kid in a minute. But one of my four boys was at school, and we got an email from his teacher. And it said that he had been disruptive in class and had been talking too much. And so we got this email, and Megan and I both got it, and she reached out, and I said, I got this one. I'll talk to him. You're going to figure out who it is because it's the one I'm going to deal with, right? And so later that night, we got ready to go to basketball practice, and we got in the car, and I said, son, do we need to talk about something that happened today? And he said, are you talking about what happened on the bus? And I said, no, but I'd like to talk about what happened on the bus. You just told on yourself. Go ahead and tell me, you know, spill it. And he said, well, Dad, I was on the bus today, and these girls were being really mean to me, and so I was kind of mean back. And see, here's the deal. His bus driver goes to the church here, and so he figured I had heard about it. But no, he just told on himself. Praise the Lord. And he said, I was kind of mean back. And I said, well, no, it's really about what happened in class. We'll get there in a minute. But here's the deal, son. I'm trying so hard not to use his name. I said, here's the deal. I don't care what those other kids do to you. You're responsible for what you do. We don't repay evil for evil. We don't get back at people because the second you do that, you're in the wrong. And now you're in the wrong because you did wrong. Don't repay evil for evil, but do what is right at all times in the eyes of people. We are responsible for what we do. But I love verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So here's the deal. People will, in the church, it will happen. We're not perfect. There will be turbulence. There will be times that people don't treat you the way you want to be treated. And there will be times, maybe in the church, that you're even tempted to say, that's evil. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't get caught up in that. But do the best, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I'm going to guess that if you've been going to church for any amount of time, you've probably dealt with a difficult situation. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know what this is saying? Sometimes you're going to do the right thing. You're going to be a person of forgiveness. You're going to be a person of peace, and other people are not going to accept it or allow peace in the situation. But as much as possible, if possible, do everything you can, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love how David Guzik says it. He has a commentary online. He says, you can only do what you can do, but you must do what you can do. Then you leave the rest to God. So here's the deal. Paul knew we're supposed to be committed to each other. We're supposed to live in harmony, but there are going to be times where there's brokenness. There's going to be times that people don't treat us the right way. He says, do your best at all times to be a peacemaker and trust the rest to God. And then we'll get to this weird part. He says, don't take revenge. Revenge is God's to have. He's the avenger. Let him deal with it. And he says, what you should do is feed your enemy. And if your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. Be kind, love your enemy, and by doing that, you're heaping coals on your enemy's head. Now, that could be easily, we could think that what he's saying there is that we should want our enemies to suffer. that's not consistent with God's word or what God calls us to. I think what God's calling us to do is do our best to live at peace. And what this is saying, I think, is that when you do your best and when you honor God with the way you behave, they have a choice whether to be peacemakers, and they will deal with the consequences of their choice. But you do what you've got to do. This isn't vindictive. This isn't spiteful. We're trying to destroy our enemy. And in fact, the same commentator said this. He said, "Nevertheless, we see that we can destroy our enemy by making them our friend." So the idea isn't, I want to destroy them, I want to wipe them off the face of the earth. The idea is, I want to love them, I want to treat them right, and allow God to deal with it. And it ends, verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." When I was in high school, I think it was my senior year, I played basketball, and we were a small school. We played a Christian high school. And so you don't expect what I'm about to tell you, but like, we played this Christian high school and we went to their gym and we're playing, and I was in the game and the game's going on, and the guy that was guarding me was trying to physically hurt me without anybody knowing. And so I'm sitting there playing and this guy is intentionally trying to hurt me as we're playing. And in that moment, he's doing wrong, he's doing evil to me, and I had a choice. Now, I'm a senior in high school. I told you I'm not perfect. My choices are, do I knock the guy's teeth out, or do I do what's right? And Scripture tells us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so this guy's trying to hurt me, and I promise you, with everything inside of me, I wanted to knock his teeth out. And I confess to you that I told him, if you keep doing this, I'm going to knock your teeth out. But ultimately, I knew that how I responded, what I did, I had to answer for. And so instead of allowing him to pull me down with his evil and his messed up stuff and getting kicked out of the game and whatever else would happen to me if I knocked his teeth out, you know what I did? I let it motivate me. And I played the best 2 minutes of my high school basketball career. I scored 10 points in 2 minutes because I was so fired up. It would have been really easy for me to allow his evil, his stuff, to drag me down. But it says, don't let evil overcome you, but overcome evil with good. Here's the deal. If somebody's wronging you, if there's something happening and somebody's wronging you, you have a choice to make. Will you honor God and do the right thing and love them and serve them, or will you take revenge? And the second you take revenge, you're just as guilty. So it says, overcome evil with good. There are a lot of things that will happen in your life, people that will do things to you, and if you allow them to eat away at you, it will drag you away from God. Choose to overcome evil with good. And so Paul tells us, we're to be devoted to one another. We need to commit. There's probably some of you in here, worship team, you can come on up. There's probably some of you in here that have just kind of been at handshakes distance. And you haven't dove in to the body of Christ. And you're not open and you're not vulnerable and you just kind of show up and you leave. And listen, I'm not trying to convict anyone today. I just want you to hear that God has more for you. And he says we need to devote ourselves to one another. We need to commit ourselves. Not to handshakes, but to hugs. And he says, we need to live in harmony. Maybe some of you, you're devoted, you're committed, but there's some stuff that there's just not harmony in the body of Christ, in your relationships. Maybe today you need to commit yourself. You need to start doing, the rubber needs to meet the road, and you need to start doing the things that will help you live at harmony. You need to forgive. You need to share. You need to love. You need to serve. And then this last part, maybe some of you have just really been hurt and there's just been some evil around you and you got a choice to make. Are you going to let that drag you down further away from God? Or are you going to overcome it by honoring God by the way you respond? Why don't you stand with me? We're going to sing a song that He is worthy of it all. as we sing the song, I want you to sing, I want you to worship, but I want you to allow God to speak to you. And if you need to devote yourself a little deeper, I want you to commit yourself to being devoted to the body of Christ. If you're not living in harmony, I want you to allow God to speak to you, and I want you to take the steps. There's really practical stuff here that will help you live in harmony with others. And if you've been hurting, and if there is a deep hurt in your life, or even a small one, overcome evil with good. I don't know what God's speaking to you, but I want you to respond. And as we sing, He's worthy of it all. This isn't just He's worthy of my singing, or He's worthy of a service. This is He's worthy of my whole heart. He's worthy of the way that I relate to others. He's worthy of it all. So today as we respond, I want you to offer your heart, your life fully to worship, to praise God. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one here. And we declare together, we declare that you are worthy of everything. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us. And if there's something in our hearts, if maybe we're just not committed enough, if we're not devoted enough, I pray that you would call us to take that next step. And maybe there's a lack of harmony. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us and lead us and help us to take steps toward harmony. Lord, help us to overcome the evil around us with your good. So Lord, speak to each one of us. Help us to respond to you. And we together proclaim, a little piece of heaven, proclaim that you are worthy of everything. We love you, Lord. We respond to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.